You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Fantasy Sports today on Sports Grid. Great to be with you. Noon on the East. Craig Mish, Davis Maddock. 2 hours fantasy sports talk, wagering sports talk as well. A lot to get to on today's show. We'll preview tonight's games in the NBA. Also take a look at daily fantasy in Major League Baseball. And Davis, recap a little bit of what happened last night in the NBA. The Utah Jazz seemingly no issue with their series as it goes right now. But maybe we do have a series between Milwaukee and the Brooklyn Nets. Your ticket definitely cashed at the end. Kevin Durant threw up a shot right at the end. It hit the rim. Looked like it could have went in. But, you know, as well as Brooklyn played coming back in that game last night, boy, the last minute or two of that game seems like they probably should have even won the game. But nonetheless, good series, it looks like, at the very least, 2-1 right now with Brooklyn and Milwaukee.
I mean, how about the fourth quarter of that game? That was some of the worst playoff basketball I have watched in, I mean, just absolute ages. The Nets start out the game scoring 11 points in the first quarter. Then they go on a blitzkrieg and they score 31 in the second quarter. Bruce Brown hit a ton of shots, which I think probably empowered him a little bit too much towards the end of that game. Bruce Brown took an awful shot with the Nets' third-to-last possession in that game. I think you're right. I think probably the Nets should have won this game. I mean, they hung in this game shooting 25% from three. The Bucks shot 19% from three, 37% from the floor. I mean, how often do you see an NBA game these days where it's like first to 80 feels like it's going to win? I mean, Giannis was awful in this game. I know his numbers look good in the end, 33 points, 14 rebounds, but he was so bad. You might have been able to stay up for this one. It might not have been past your bedtime. Did you see his three-pointer that ended up clanking off the rim and getting stuck back behind the backboard?
I didn't see that play, but I did watch the last 5 minutes of the game. Once the Marlins was out of it, I tuned in. But no, I did not see that play. That game reminded me of basketball that I used to watch in the playoffs in the 90s and in the 2000s with the low-scoring game. But, yeah, you're right. I did not think, looking at it, that Giannis played all that well. I would doubt we'll see another game in this series played like that. But regardless, the Bucks will take it. The crowd was going nuts, though, at the end of that game, too. That was really good to see, inside and outside of the arena, by the way. Here are our headlines as we start the show here on this Friday, June 11, 2021. White Sox are going to be without Nick Madrigal for at least 2 months. He's their nice young player who they drafted a couple of years ago, and there's already scuttle that they're going to make a deal for a second baseman. We'll see. As we mentioned, the Bucks defend their home court, so do the Utah Jazz. Vegas, as Chris mentioned in the update, heads to the Western Conference Finals. They've got a great shot to win it all. Could be a Vegas, either Lightning or maybe Islanders final here. Should be exciting there. And the Diamondbacks, who just can't win a game all season long, keep getting shut out, keep losing. They've decided to blame it on their coaches, Eric Hinsky being one of those. I believe Darnell Coles was the other. And Torey Lovello, who probably, I would say, is going to get replaced no matter what at the end of the season, definitely will still be managing the team for the time being. Well, last night, a really low-scoring, ugly game, as Davis mentioned. And Steve Nash, no stranger to those games. He played in the NBA at the time that those games were going on and talked about this ugly sort of slog fest that the Nets will have to do better at next time around in order to win.
These are two elite offensive teams that played in the 80s. So, you know, they had a better start than us. You know, I felt like they got a better quality of shots at times than we did. You know, but I mean, it could have gone either way. You know, we went really cold at the end of the game. And, you know, we'll pick it apart. We'll look at it. We'll try to execute better, look at ways that we can learn from this game and move forward. I mean, you know, it was a tough, tough playoff game where neither team was really shooting the ball well, creating good opportunities. And, you know, it was someone was going to win ugly, and it was them.
Yeah, and I think right now, Davis, the takeaway for me with this is that this is probably the best price you're going to get with the Nets in order to win this series. Maybe the best price you'll get on anything Nets-wise to win the rest of the way. There is some talk that Harden is getting closer to coming back, so there's a chance we could even see him in this series. And if he does, you will not get any Nets price on FanDuel better than the one that sits there right now.
Yeah, so right now the Nets are plus 135 to win the NBA championship. They are minus 390 on the FanDuel Sportsbook to win this series. But I thought it was interesting. The Nets, their exact series correct score, they're plus 135 to just win this series 4-1. So that basically means they win this game that they are favored in tomorrow night, and then they're going to win the game on Monday. I don't hate it. Now, I don't love making wagers like this in general, where it's a little bit more of a luck-based outcome. But the Nets are, of course, favored in the next game. You know, I just don't know. Like, the Bucks can't be favored against the Nets the rest of the way, regardless of where the game is being played. So I don't hate that. But, I mean, any Nets wager you make right now, I feel like probably you're going to be returning money on that investment.
Agreed on every front. That was a good call by you yesterday. A loss for me, for sure. Maybe I should have just said Bucks money line. That would have been easier for me. But yeah, that was a cover of +3.5, no doubt. Okay, coming up next, we dive back into tonight's Friday night's games. We have the Sixers and Hawks and Suns and Denver Nuggets. No doubt this is do or die for Denver tonight in Colorado. So we'll break those games down when we come back next right here on Fantasy Sports Today.
Also, Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
So Jim Sannis joins us later in the show to go over the NASCAR All-Star Race. So stay with us and stay on the grid. We'll check in on the odds on FanDuel on tonight's NBA games in just 2 minutes. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back, Fantasy Sports Today. I'm here on SportsGrid, SportsGrid.com. Happy Friday. Hope everyone is getting their weekend off to the right start. Of course, we are here as well, breaking down a couple of games in the NBA against the spread as per the FanDuel Sportsbook's lines. And so let's dive in right now. A really good series may be coming up in Game 3 between the Philadelphia 76ers and Atlanta Hawks. And, I mean, look, let's be honest. The Hawks and the city of Atlanta, in terms of their sports, does not have a lot to root for. But it looks like this is the best shot for one of their teams, honestly, to get deep. We got the Philadelphia 76ers at the Atlanta Hawks tonight. Philly is a one-point favorite. That feels about right. Anticipate them being the better team, but somewhat of a coin flip of a game. The total is 224. The series is tied at one, but the Hawks will head back to their city in Atlanta. And Bogdan Bogdanovic is looking forward to seeing all of the fans. And they're saying that tonight, like every game in the playoffs, he says is a must-win game.
Yeah, it's pretty excited, you know, to play in front of our fans. But I think we should not have that type of mindset. You know, we have two games, you know. The next game is tomorrow. It's really big game for us. And we are fully locked in for that game, you know. Like, there is no other game left. There is, you know, from now on for us, I think it's every game is like elimination game for us.
It is going to be a huge task for Atlanta to win this series. And Trae Young, Davis, probably has to average like 35 or 40 points in order to win it. And the thing is, he can. So that's why this kind of makes it a little bit compelling. FanDuel is still telling you that the 76ers should win this series and probably should not go seven. But that will all change tonight if Atlanta is able to win this one. Davis, do you think they can?
I think they can. I do not think that they will. I found this line to be sort of interesting. I thought this would kind of be your classic 76ers by three, 3.5. You know, in the regular season, the 76ers were the fifth best team by net rating. They were considerably better than the Knicks, who were the 10th best team by net rating. And probably what is most concerning if you are a Hawks fan is the Hawks are not a great defensive team, and you know they're slightly worse than league average in terms of defensive rating. And most of what the Hawks have been successful at has been just being an overpowering offense. Trae Young, a great offensive player. John Collins, a strong offensive player. Danilo Gallinari, good. Bogdan Bogdanovic has been great. I mean, this is the best stretch of his career right now. He's been so good. And even Capella has really contributed on offense. But, you know, it is very hard for me to see, even in one game or over the course of a series, it's hard for me to see the Hawks defending well enough to stop the 76ers. Now, Capella, a very good one-on-one defender for Embiid. I mean, one of the guys you definitely say, look, we need to beat the 76ers in a series. You need someone like Capella, like Rudy Gobert, you know, a very strong one-on-one defender. But, you know, Simmons did a great job on Trae Young in game two. I think he's going to continue to do a great job on Trae Young. So I am on the Philadelphia 76ers here. I don't feel as strongly as I did about the Nets line yesterday, but I do feel like the 76ers are the better team than the Hawks.
Almost a pick 'em game tonight, could come right down to the end. Total is 224. Again, series tied at one. The late game tonight will be Phoenix and Denver, where Denver has not looked like they belong in this series. But the line, again, tells you not so fast. Denver's got a shot to win tonight. They are favored here. The total is 223. The Suns can basically put the Nuggets away tonight. So, Davis, whatever Denver has been hiding and whatever game plan they have been waiting on using, and I know that they're playing shorthanded. You made some really good points about a lot of their guys playing massive minutes to get to this point. Phoenix does not really need this one. And Denver needs it more than any team has needed a game in the NBA this season, because 3-0 in a series will tell you it's usually a sweep. And even if the other team wins one, the series is over. Can Denver keep it going? Can they survive this game tonight with a win and at least make it interesting?
Yeah, I mean, game three for the home team down 2-0. This was the exact situation we talked about with the Milwaukee Bucks against the Brooklyn Nets yesterday. This is the spot where you play your starters 42 minutes. They're giving it everything they have because no one wants to get punked. Like, let's be real. This is a pride thing, right? The Denver Nuggets do not want to get punked. They do not want to get swept. This is their first game at home. They're going to have some fans there. The Suns are going to be playing at the altitude. This definitely is a game that the Nuggets need way more than the Suns. You know, of course, there is that that famous saying, an NBA series doesn't start until the home team loses a game. But the Nuggets definitely not getting as much respect as even the Bucks did against the Nets in that game yesterday. I would say the Nuggets have probably the biggest home court advantage in the NBA, you know, with the altitude factor. They're used to training in it. They live there. They play half their games there. Like, it's a big deal to play at that level of an altitude. And the Suns don't, obviously. You know, they're much lower sea level than the Denver Nuggets. So I actually think FanDuel is telling you the Suns are going to handle business here, because I think if they thought these teams were close at all, I think this would be like a 3, 3.5, maybe even a 4. And so I think FanDuel is saying, we have to make this line this way because teams going down 2-0 that third game at home, they just take care of business a huge historical percentage of the time. And, you know, the market and FanDuel doesn't really believe that's true for Denver right now.
So if it ends up that the final four in the NBA ends up being Phoenix against Utah and let's say Brooklyn against Philadelphia. I think that's how you see it. I think so. So if it ends up being those four, is there no value beyond taking at this moment Brooklyn to win the championship? Because again, if you feel that strongly about it now and you're a Brooklyn backer, what would be the point, Davis, in waiting any further? Because essentially, I'm guessing you don't expect them to be down two games in any series this year, right? In any series moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely do not think that the Nets are going to be down to the 76ers, because the 76ers, they have great offensive players, but they make their bones on defense. And I just don't know defensively what you do against the Brooklyn Nets to gain an advantage. How do you stop them on offense? When Harden is healthy, you have no good options. You just have no good options, right? You got Harden bringing the ball up. Okay, double team Harden. He passes to Kyrie. Kyrie creates, you know, a little bit of space in the lane. He can do a pick and roll with Kevin Durant and either get to the basket or swing it out to Joe Harris, who's shooting like 44% from three for the year. Swing it out to Bruce Brown. We saw how strong he is last night. Blake Griffin looks rejuvenated. And it's not to say, like, you know, when we have these conversations, they tend to be kind of black and white. And, you know, the odds suggest that the Nets are about a coin flip to win the NBA title right now, maybe a little bit worse, you know, 48% to win the title or something like that. So sure, the 76ers can win. Sure, the Jazz can win. Sure, the Suns can win. But, you know, assuming no injuries, assuming everyone kind of plays to the back of their basketball card, I do not see adjustments or personnel decisions that other coaches and teams can make to be a better team than the Nets is kind of how I feel about it.
And on top of it, the other question that I would ask, I know we only have a minute. If you knew Harden was going to play starting the next game, this is it, right? Like, you go on FanDuel and bet it if you feel that way, right? So it's like, and by the way, we don't know that he's coming back next game, but we know he's coming back. And they're still winning, and they're still playing close games. So, yeah, I'm with you there. I don't see it any other way, unless Utah is just that team of destiny this year, because they have been playing that way. But I'm confident in Utah getting there. I'll definitely be very confident if Phoenix takes care of business tonight in Denver. All right, confidence not very high for the Washington Nationals, that's for sure. A lot of stuff swirling about Max Scherzer being in a Nationals uniform after July 31st, but they play the Giants tonight. We'll preview that game, and Jacob DeGrom is on the mound as well. Our picks are next. Stick with us.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Running out for the Washington Nationals, World Series champions a couple of years ago, did not have a great 2020, and most people predicted them, Davis, to finish in fourth place or fifth place this upcoming season. I know we're going to get to their game here between San Francisco and Washington, but you know, it's the time of the year where we start talking about these really tough decisions that teams have to make. I just did a whole podcast on Miami and what they're going to do, you know, maybe trading Marte or trading Rojas, these guys. I mean, what do the Nationals do here, man? Like, Max Scherzer is one of the greatest – I know you're a bigger fan of Kershaw, but he is one of the greatest pitchers of the last 10, 20 years. And he could potentially just take his ball and go wherever he wants next season, and leave. And that's exactly what Bryce Harper did. So it's like they are under such a tough spot because some team gets him. They maybe win a World Series with him. What message do you send to the fans in Washington? These guys would riot if they let Scherzer go. I don't know how this is going to play out, but it's going to be one of the bigger stories of the deadline, I think.
They should trade Max Scherzer. They should, you know, they're not going to be close to a World Series this year. And I mean, it's not like Max Scherzer is one of those guys who's been with one team for his entire career. So you'd be sad to see him go, like, which I think you definitely have to factor into these decisions. He spent a long time pitching for Detroit. And then before that actually was, you know, people don't even remember this because it was so long ago, but he was also on the Arizona Diamondbacks. So I don't think it's like, you know, some big tragedy for him to not finish his career playing for Washington. So I think they should trade him. I mean, imagine a world where the Dodgers replace the Tony Gonsolin and David Price innings with Max Scherzer. Like, and it's not like the Dodgers don't have the money and don't have the way to make it work, because they definitely could. You know, they could pay all of Scherzer's salary, no problem, absorb it, get that off of the Nationals payroll. I don't even want to put that out into the universe because I don't want the Dodgers to get even better.
Me neither.
But yeah, but that's totally a deal I could see happening. And to be honest, both teams should be incentivized to do it, because why are we wasting probably Max Scherzer's last prime year? I mean, maybe he's got one more year left of being amazing. Why do we want him to be on a bad team? Like, let Max Scherzer flourish.
Yeah, look, there's a lot of teams. I mean, Davis, it's a one-year deal here now, so Tampa Bay could even jump in here and pay him for the rest of the year. Throw him with Tyler Glasnow at the top of that rotation. Tampa Bay's right back in the World Series again. Yankees, I mean, Boston Red Sox seem to be playing above their head. So I don't know what the Nationals are going to do. I think they see it a little bit differently than you. I mean, he did help them win a World Series. He's won a couple Cy Youngs with them. I think there is a lot of love there. But you run a huge risk of him at the end of the season just not coming back and getting nothing except for a draft pick. And maybe that's where Washington wants to play it. They get that first-round pick. It's so valuable. But I don't know. I think they could get more in a trade for him. Regardless, tonight, you hate to say it, that it's the countdown to the end because he's only got four or five starts left with them, if that is the case. But he's a huge favorite tonight. Minus 180 on FanDuel over the Giants. Giants are playing great baseball, but let's be clear, they're just so undermanned when you play against Max. The total is 7.5. DeSclafani, very hit or miss. He gives up a three-run home run, game basically over. I know the Nationals have had, I think, some travel issues getting back into Washington. I think I saw there they got in like super late last night, so that could factor in. Always want to check those things, by the way, before you bet on anything. In a vacuum, it would seem that you would lay money here on the minus 180. If you told me Di Sclafani, by the way, Davis, could throw five innings without giving up five runs, I would lean under 7.5 here tonight. But how do you see it?
Yeah, I actually think I would go the other way. I think that I would probably bet the Giants, because looking at the Nationals lineup, what you got to look for with Di Sclafani is, okay, how many lefties can they get in there? And it's not as many as you would think. Like, you would think, oh, you know, every major league team against a guy who just cannot get left-handed batters out. Well, you know, they have Soto and they have Schwarber, and then they have Josh Bell, who is a switch hitter, but he is way better in his career against right-handed pitching than against left-handed pitching. So he's kind of like a weird splits style switch hitter. And it's, and, you know, obviously Kyle Schwarber and Juan Soto are incredible hitters, but I'm going to go the other way. I'm actually going to take the dog here. I'm going to take the Giants, and the Giants have just been a better team. Like, up and down, they have been a better team than the Washington Nationals, and it looks like the market isn't really buying it, but I don't know. I mean, it feels like that no matter who is in the lineup, it's that thing with the Giants, like the every other year thing. Like, they just randomly turn up, and they're good. It almost doesn't matter who the players are. They just randomly end up being good.
Yeah, this year in particular has been a surprise for sure for them being in the position they are, and they've actually pulled ahead a little bit of the next team we're going to talk about, the San Diego Padres. Last couple of weeks have really struggled, 3-7 in their last 10, and they're plus money tonight, which is rare, plus 158. You can get them on a $100 bet. The Mets are minus 188 on the money line. It's Blake Snell. It's Jacob DeGrom. It's the lowest total in a Major League Baseball game this season, 5.5 over on FanDuel. I believe there was one other that was a 5.5. You'll never see a 5. So this is as low as it could ever go. There are 6s every now and then. I think I did see a 5.5 once before this year, but that's been it. DeGrom has been out of this world, clearly. Snell had probably his best start of the season, I think, the last time that he pitched. But for whatever reason, Padres are going through it. Every team is going to go through a stretch where they don't play well. And so the Giants are still in the driver's seat there. Dodgers moved ahead of them a little bit. I'm sure the Padres will get it corrected, but tough to ask them to get it corrected tonight.
You know what? I'm gonna take a weird line on this game. I'm gonna say bet the over. Just like when you see a total this preposterously low, my instinct is, well, the reason why you don't see 5.5 totals very often is because most baseball games include many more runs being scored than 5 or 6. Like, most baseball games just have. And now I know DeGrom is amazing. I know Snell is coming off of the great start. I know that the Mets don't have their full strength lineup back. You know, they're still playing your McKinney's, your Pilar's, Mason Williams, dude I've never heard of, Jose Peraza, you know, just a perennial bench rider. He's played for like 8 MLB teams at this point. But I think I'm just gonna take the over here. 5.5, all that has to, you know, a 3-run home run and you're like halfway there. Like, if someone runs into a fastball early against Blake Snell, like, that, you're almost home free. So I love the over here. And I have no sophisticated analysis other than a vast majority of baseball games in human history have had more than 5 runs scored in them.
Yeah, tough one for me here, seeing the 5.5. But I've seen these go under before too, but we'll mark that down for Monday. All right, Toronto and Boston, will close it out here. Some run expectancy tonight with a total of 9.5. Blue Jays are plus 114, Red Sox minus 134. Ross Stripling, who you very much know who he is at this point of his career, pitches for Toronto. And Garrett Richards has had an unbelievable run here over the last, I would say, month or so. But the thing with Richards is, I think, if I'm not mistaken, he's been really lucky. I think he's just putting a ton of guys on base. He's walked a lot of guys, too, if I'm not mistaken. But the luck has worked because the Red Sox have scored a lot of runs. I think he's also left a lot of runners on base. That's not necessarily a skill. It's usually more luck. But his ERA is 3.2 over the last 2 months. He had a horrible April, and he's cleaned it up since. So, Davis, who do you like tonight? Boston plus 134 or Toronto plus 114?
Well, as usual, Craig, when it comes to baseball, you are correct. Garrett Richards' ERA, 3.8. His expected ERA, 4.8. His expected fielding independent pitching. Fielding independent pitching ERA is 4.4. 8% home run to fly ball rate. That is significantly lower than his career average. 75% left on base rate. That's way higher than league average and way higher than his career average. He is walking loads of guys, an 11% walk rate that is both above league average and above his career average. So actually, kind of what that suggests for me is that he is generating some of these results by not having control, and he's getting guys to chase on weird pitches, and he's generating a bunch of soft contact by getting guys to swing outside of the zone. Don't think that's going to work against the Toronto Blue Jays, because the Toronto Blue Jays are so good. I mean, the Blue Jays, you might say, if you had to pick one team, like you have to pick their lineup and only their players, and they were you got their hitting stats, would you maybe pick the Blue Jays for 162 games as the best offense? The Dodgers. The Dodgers would be number one, but I think the Blue Jays would be pretty darn close. I mean, Semien, Bichette, Vlad, Teoscar, Grichuk, Gurriel, I mean, and then you sub in Biggio there for Joe Panik. I mean, come on. Like that is quite the lineup. And I've been betting against Garrett Richards. I've been stacking against him in DFS. I think finally tonight it's going to be my time to get even. I think finally Richards is going to give up some home runs tonight.
A healthy White Sox lineup I'd put probably ahead of Toronto, but then a healthy George Springer I may shift back to Toronto as well. So I think that they're in that conversation, though, of top offensive lineup. Yeah, I mean, it does appear that Richards has been a little lucky, so I'm with you. Eventually, this has got to turn. And on top of it, the only reason why you would be concerned is that in a tie game or a late game, Boston's bullpen has been really good. So it's the kind of thing where if it's the fifth inning and it's 3-3 and Richards has two runners on and they bring in some dude on Boston, he's going to strike the guy out. And I don't know if you've, I mean, you got to at one point check it out this year, but this, you know, Ottavino.
Normally in these ads, you expect somebody to ask you to buy something, but this is something different. I'm Julian Barnes, and I'm a reporter for The New York Times. I'm a national security reporter, and that means I'm reporting on military operations. These are fast-paced, quickly moving situations. What exactly is happening on the ground is often shrouded in mystery. But we turn to trusted sources, satellite imagery, and expertise built up over years in order to ferret out the facts that wouldn't otherwise come to light. I'm here to ask you to seek out a news source that does firsthand fact-based reporting. If it's your local paper, great. If it's The Times, thank you. Because where you go for your information matters.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Who's back on Boston this year, who was traded in the offseason. I mean, this, I don't think he's given up a run to a righty. He may not have given up, I don't think he's given up a hit to a righty the entire season. It's like insane what he's been able to do. DFS coming up next. Stay on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We'll be right back.
Those of you who play Daily Fantasy may want to go over to Daily Roto, check out all of the picks tonight. For those of you who are getting ready to play on FanDuel this evening, we're going to help you out. Now, Davis, tonight's slate is, I think, almost full. I think I noticed that, like, what is it, four teams have off or two teams have off today? I don't think I ever remember this on a Friday. They just, like, randomly gave a couple of teams off tonight. I think the Yankees are one of them, too.
Yeah, there's got to be two teams off because there's the, you know, the Friday afternoon game in Wrigley. They always play that day game when the Cubs are at home. Mm-hmm. But we only have a 13-game slate tonight, so that means that the Yankees, who I don't notice on here, and someone else, I'm not gonna do yeah. that counting on air. But yeah, someone else is off as well. So we got a big 13-game slate on FanDuel tonight.
All right, so let's take a look at the starting pitchers, and there definitely are a lot of good options tonight. And one very pricey one, that is Jacob deGrom at 12,000. I feel like I say this every week, but this is now the highest I can recall any pitcher being this season at 12,000. Clayton Kershaw, 9,800. Blake Snell, 9,200 for the Padres in the game that we just discussed. And Tyler Molly is at 8,500 tonight. So am I right on that? Is deGrom the highest priced pitcher all year tonight?
I think he himself has actually been 12,000 before, but yeah, I mean, this is the most expensive that we have seen a starting pitcher be. And, you know, there you are not thin for options tonight. We have DeGrom taking the mound. He, you know, of course, is going to be, everyone loves DeGrom. He's amazing. He goes deep in every game. He generates strikeouts. He, you know, I mean, if I said anything bad about DeGrom on this show, I think Brett would probably just cut my audio. I do think Clayton Kershaw is in this amazing spot tonight against the Rangers at home. He's only 9,800, but I don't think he's going to be that owned tonight because Lucas Giolito pitches against the Detroit Tigers. Brandon Woodruff, who is not on our list, pitches against the Pittsburgh Pirates. He is going to be super popular. I think he might even end up being the most popular player of the slate. I really like Snell. He is direct leverage on Jacob deGrom. You know, obviously people are going to be using DeGrom in their lineups, which means they're going to be using less of his opponent. And if Snell gets the win, right? So if Snell pitches a little bit better than DeGrom, he takes those points away, those win points away, which are huge in FanDuel Major League Baseball, DFS. And then Tyler Molly, he just has this incredible lineup against the Colorado Rockies on the road. He's 8,500. We have him projected for 7.5 strikeouts. So he looks, you know, he just looks phenomenal there. I mean, there are so many great starting pitchers. Otani starts tonight against the Diamondbacks, who just, you know, that the Diamondbacks, they can't hit. They fire all their hitting coaches. I mean, maybe Otani is pretty sneaky tonight. You know, Tarik Skubal up against the White Sox. There are so many guys tonight. It would be a very good night to log in to Daily Roto and use those tools there, not try and do it by yourself because there are so many options tonight.
Yeah, I mean, the Reds in particular, are you kidding me? Playing at home against a left-handed pitcher, I mean, Castellanos and I mean, what I saw from the Rockies yesterday, Davis, was just a disaster, man. I would never call a team quitting because they did come back in the eighth and ninth and scored some runs, but my gosh, their pitching and bullpen is just rough. And their last in OPS, batting average, run score, every single category on the road this year, even Arizona is ahead of them too. So totally get it. I think Molly's a great call. Okay, over to first base and catcher. We got Cody Bellinger, the Dodgers, tonight at 4,000. Ulieski Gurriel just keeps hitting. He's at 3,600. Jared Walsh has cooled off a little bit, 3,300 for the Angels. And then Jose Abreu, last year's MVP of the White Sox, is at 3,000 tonight.
Yeah, so first base, another one of those positions, just insanely deep. There are so many options. But three of our top four projected options are Bellinger, Abreu, and Walsh. Walsh just getting a little bit discounted by the market. Our numbers still think he's fantastic. I expect Abreu, he'll probably be the most owned first baseman. I don't know why he's priced this way. Maybe he's in like a slump that I haven't realized or something, but Jose Abreu for $3,000. I mean, I would kind of consider him to be like a $4,000 or a $3,800 player. He's been so good this season. His numbers against lefties are so good. And then yeah, Gurriel against Shoemaker. The Astros, I think they scored 12 runs last night, they're going to keep scoring a bunch of runs, and they're definitely going to score a bunch of runs against Matt Shoemaker, who, as I have consistently referenced on this show, I view him as basically the worst starting pitcher who has a weekly job. And so I hope that when we get through all of our ownership projections on dailyroto.com that it doesn't look like the Astros are going to be too owned, because I'd really like to play them against him.
Yeah, Shoemaker is the fade material of 2021 for sure. Okay, over to second base. Whit Merrifield makes our list again at 3,700 for the Kansas City Royals. Jazz Chisholm also makes it again at 3,100. He hit a home run yesterday. Jorge Polanco at 2,800. And then Gavin Lux has definitely dipped down a little bit. McKinstry is now back too. Lux's price, Davis, is at 2,500 for the Dodgers.
Yeah, weird. It's like first base and outfield are so stacked in this slate, but second base not as good. You know, you have your normal candidates, Altuve and Max Muncy, but, you know, weird guys are getting pushed up in our projections because of matchups. You know, guys like Jonathan India and, Jorge Polanco. Like, Polanco is one of our biggest values at 2,800. Jazz came through in a major way last night. I think he had a home run, and I think he stole a base as well. He ended up with a bunch of FanDuel points. I think like 35 FanDuel points. He was phenomenal. Love him again today against Martin. If they're going to keep Jazz around 3,000, he's just going to be in this list every day because he has been so amazing for fantasy. Yeah, and then Polanco cheap. Lux cheap. You are going to need some cheap guys. Lux, I think, should bat seventh, but I just don't even think it matters against Fulton Nevich. Like, the Dodgers are just going to absolutely tag him up tonight.
Okay, let's go to third base. Alex Bregman's price has now moved up to 3,800 for Houston. We mentioned Suarez before. Kyle Freeland, a lefty. Suarez, a righty. In Cincinnati, it's like Coors all over again. 3,200 tonight. Kyle Seager, 3,000. Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, 2,500 for the Rangers tonight.
Yeah, Kiner-Falefa thrown in here, leads off, has eligibility at a couple different positions on FanDuel. And I know it's against Kershaw, but, he's a right-handed bat. And we just need some cheap guys. We just need some cheap guys who are going to grind out some points for us, especially if we're going to pitch to Grom. If we're going to pitch to Grom and try and stack some of these high-price offenses, you're definitely going to need a couple cheap guys. Kyle Seager just always looks good in our projections. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's something wrong in there. Every once in a while, you'll find a bug. A guy is getting credited with something, or his weighted on-base averages are rolling incorrectly. But he's been good this season. Solid left-handed bat, good matchup and everything. And then Bregman, probably, clearly our best third base option. Suarez is interesting. I don't want to play him if he's going to be like 15% owned on FanDuel or something. And maybe he will be. In a weird way, I kind of hope they like bat him seventh or something tonight, which they did the other night. He did bat seventh for the Reds the other night, because if he does, he is going to be way lower owned. The optimizers aren't going to like him as that. People are going to be less likely to click on him with that little green seven next to his name. But it doesn't really change his projection that much, because it's not like you're counting on him to be hitting C&I singles with two guys on base ahead of him. You are playing Suarez for that home run off Kyle Freeland. So I think being pretty ownership sensitive on him for tonight's slate is good.
All right, we'll see where Suarez is in the lineup for the Reds before making that call. Let's check out shortstop tonight. Xander Bogaerts of the Red Sox is 3,700. Trey Turner's price has been adjusted down from about 4 to 3,600 for the Nationals. Marcus Semien, always solid, 3,100 for Toronto. And then J.P. Crawford would be a cheap option tonight at 2,500. I mean, how many times do we even talk about Seattle on this show? Not too much, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, the only time we ever bring up the Seattle guys is when they switch up their lineup order. So it means that someone who is batting like seventh is batting leadoff or batting second, and then that guy has a cheap price tag, so then we slot him in. I mean, Semien should just be obvious. Have you gotten the card yet? Has your son acquired player of the month Marcus Semien yet?
No. Like so far, like a lot of the moments are being done. But like what you described on that other thing, like you have to play in a game with.
Yeah,
I honestly don't know the answer why it hasn't been done, but it's just, and he's not failing. It's just taking a lot of time. No is the answer. We have not gotten him yet.
Yeah, well, that'll be a good weekend task for your son. He's got to get Semien on the team. And then Trey Turner, I thought was fascinating. Yesterday, in this exact same matchup against Descalfani, that game was rained out. He was 4,100. They must have had a different starting pitcher inputted when they went to go do this, because now he's 3,600. So yeah, we're gonna play him for the $500 discount. And then Xander Bogaerts, I mean, he just continues to absolutely smoke the cover off the ball. Good hitting environment there in Boston against Stripling. You mentioned earlier in the show, like, we know who Ross Stripling is. No need to be afraid of him for this Boston Red Sox offense.
All right, let's cap it off with the outfield. Mookie Betts, coming off a home run yesterday, is at 4,100 tonight. Juan Soto of the Nationals, 4,000. Manny Margot, 3,200. Trey Mancini, 3,000. And Eddie Rosario, not a name we've mentioned a ton this year either, at 2,800.
Yeah, it was tough to find cheaper players on this slate, because all of the good, it's so weird. Like, when the good offenses go up against the bad pitchers, that means that there are probably good pitchers going up against bad offenses. So you got to be pretty selective with your value plays. So that's why we see Mancini in here. That's why we see Eddie Rosario. Margot is a player I have always really liked. He's good against left-handed pitching. And he is, last season and the season before, he was in a platoon where he was one of those guys who would get replaced by the Rays. So if he started against a lefty, he would get replaced by Kevin Kiermaier or whoever later in the game. They haven't been doing that with him this year. They're just leaving him in and letting him, you know, play against right-handed pitching. He's got power, he's got speed, and the market never really seems to capitalize much on him. Juan Soto, platoon advantage against Descalfani. I feel like the viewers are probably sick of me talking about his splits since they had to hear about it yesterday and that game got rained out and we previewed it in the last segment. And then, yeah, I mean, Mookie Betts. Like, the Dodgers are the best offense that we have. So we have these stack scores on FanDuel where we, you know, you combine all of the team's projected points and then, you know, divided by the amount of guys in the lineup. And the Astros and the Dodgers are so far ahead of everyone else in this slate that they're just going to be so popular. And of course, you're not going to want to stack the Dodgers without Betts, you know, their best hitter.
Yeah. Can you, when you set your lineup and you do it, let's say, I mean, I don't know when will you end up setting the lineup. How many times have you found yourself late swapping this year? Do you a lot of that, like an hour before the game, or you move guys in and out? I know that you're sitting at your computer a lot during the day, but at night also?
Honestly, I try not to. Also, this year I am employing a different strategy. I'm mostly playing one lineup in bigger dollar contests. So like, I'll play like the $100 single entry or like a $350 single entry. I used to play a bunch of different lineups in smaller contests, and I just don't have as much time, and that's more time intensive. It requires more time at the computer. I can do it on my, I can do it on my phone, and I can check the Daily Roto stuff on my phone that way. So I can be, you know, walking the dogs, watering the garden, doing whatever, and be on my phone. So, but the late swaps are pretty frequent. Most, I set it, you know, kind of when you and I do the show, and then I go back and I start to mess with things, you know, about an hour before lock, and then after lock, I check and make sure all my guys are in the lineup and everything.
All right. That's the way to do it, according to Davis. We got plenty more to come here on the show on Fantasy Sports Today, which would include hearing from Jazz Chisholm of the Miami Marlins. So stay tuned to that. But coming up next, Giancarlo Stanton is on a hot streak yet again, but the Yankees fell short last night. He talked about that yesterday to the media. We'll see what's in store for the Yankees this weekend, even though they have a day off today. We'll be right back.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's sort of a peculiar Friday for baseball with a couple of teams not playing tonight. One of those teams is the New York Yankees, and it has been a very rough go of it for them this season, especially on offense. And one of those players has been Giancarlo Stanton, who started off hot, got cold, got hot, injured list, cold, now hot again. Kind of hard to predict who he is, but he's hit three home runs over the last couple of days. He's up to now having 12 on the season, but it was a really tough loss for them last night as Aroldis Chapman gave up the win, tried to go for a sweep in Minnesota, and just fell short. He talked about that yesterday after the game.
I mean, throughout these long years, you're going to see a lot worse than tonight some nights. But, having to lead most of the game, it is a bit unfortunate. But, we got another one in 2 days, so we'll be all right.
Davis, you think the Yankees, like, are they just going to be who we've seen them be this season? Do you think at some point they have, like, a run in them? Because we just haven't seen it yet.
Well, have Judge and Stanton been hot at the same time? I think the answer to that is no. So if both of those dudes are seeing beach balls at the plate at the same time, like it's kind of one of those things, you know, they bat so close to each other in the order. You got Stanton smashing doubles in the gap and then Judge flailing at the slider. And then you got Stanton striking out. So then there's no one on base when Judge comes up. Like, I feel like both of those guys hot at the same time, Gleyber Torres not being terrible and LeMahieu hitting, like, that's what they need. And I don't know if they'll get there, but I feel like for at least 2 weeks in the season, you'll have those guys going full Bash Bros. Like, I feel like for at least a little while, that'll be a thing.
I think you just requested four different things from the Yankees as we move on.
Yes.
You may get like one or two. That's the problem there. With Torres, you're right, and LeMahieu, you're right. Now Kluber is out too. I mean, look, the Yankees just may be a little bit better than 500, but guess what? That may get you in the postseason. It's possible. All right, that's hour one. Chris has the update here at the top of the hour. We'll come back for hour two. We'll hear from Jazz Chisholm of the Miami Marlins and also talk about Kyler Murray, who says that don't give up on baseball just yet. Do I believe him? I don't know. We'll be right back.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino.